Good morning. It is Tuesday, July the 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Now, it's Tuesday, and you know what that means. Taco Tuesday. That's going to become a thing. I mean, we may even make a t-shirt one day for the Wake Up Call Nation celebrating Taco Tuesday. I've already told you, people been sending me taco socks. That's amazing. My friends, Ed Pat Wright from Helena, Arkansas, and Ed Pat and Betsy and Randy and Sue Jessen from Colorado have both sent me a pair of socks. Now, that's for a lifetime, okay? You don't need but two pair of taco socks. So, you know, if you want to send me, like, Taco Bell gift certificates, I'm kidding. You don't need to send me anything. You just get tacos, and I'll get tacos, and we'll celebrate together apart, because there's no distance in God's kingdom. All right, guys, we're having fun already today on Tuesday. It's time to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord to get ready for a day of sowing on the fields of awakening. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got a fun one today. It's entitled, Why Religion and Politics Don't Make for Nice Company. Our text is Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, My brothers, I am a Pharisee descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits. But the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. On the one hand, it looks like Paul pulled a trick play right out of the playbook of Sun Tzu. A common enemy produces allies. But if the allies can be turned against one another, the focus on the common enemy is lost. And if the alliance can be broken by appealing to a deeper bond between the common enemy and one of the allies, all the better. You've heard the saying, my enemy's enemy is my friend. Paul, as a Pharisee, knew the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, and that the Sadducees did not believe it, and further that it was a point of bitter dispute. Though it's not a great analogy, Paul knew Sadducees and Pharisees were something akin to the Democrats and the Republicans today. But they weren't so much political parties as they were theological parties. And in my estimation, they weren't so much theological parties as they were ideological factions. Whenever an ideologically partisan faction masquerades as a theological movement, it quickly gets political, and people get murdered in the name of God. Now, it's a much larger and more nuanced conversation, but this is something of the essence of Christian nationalism. Okay. You've heard the saying, politics makes strange bedfellows. That's what we see here. Some of the leaders of the Pharisees, the ones trying to kill Paul, actually took Paul's defense. In the end, though, it didn't work. Rather than getting the attention off of himself, Paul had to be forcibly removed by the soldiers to keep him from being literally torn to pieces. He became the proverbial rope in their game of ideological tug of war. This is our first sign that the conflict is far more ideological than theological in nature. Do you remember the day when avowed enemies Herod and Pilate shook hands in a common alliance against Jesus? That's the problem with so many religious disputes. They are often just power battles clothed in theological garb. When theology devolves into ideology, it's a short step to idolatry, manipulation, and control, which inevitably pushes out doxology, that's surrender and worship. The power of the gospel, by its very nature as the power of God, threatened to undermine and undo the power of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's a mindful and a mouthful right there. When theology devolves into ideology, it's a short step to idolatry, which inevitably pushes out doxology. I think there's a word tucked in here for Christians in an embattled and embittered election year. Religion and politics don't make for nice company. However, worship and prayer make for good church. This kind of thing continues to happen in the church among the people of God to this very day, because we choose to stay at the level of religion and politics. In our efforts to fight what we consider to be false ideologies with what we believe to be good theology, we usually wind up becoming counter-ideologues, counter-ideologues ourselves. And the whole thing becomes about power and winning. We tend to slaughter our opponents, not so much with weaponry as with our words. And yes, it still happens in the name of God. Unless our theology becomes doxology, it is really only veiled ideology, which turns to idolatry. Can I say it again? Okay, I'm going to go Maxie Dunham. Let me say that again. Unless our theology becomes doxology, unless our words about God becomes the worship of God, it's really only veiled ideology, which turns into idolatry. So how does theology become doxology? Thanks for asking. Okay, get down on your knees and declare aloud, Jesus is Lord. Now, by way of qualification, I know I've ruffled feathers today. By way of qualification, let me say this. The gospel is political, though Jesus is not a partisan. And the kingdom of heaven does mean societal reformation, though we should be wary of social engineering. And certainly, a democratic constitutional republic is worlds different from an ancient imperialistic empire. In the midst of all this complexity, the real worship of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ matters most. Despite all our differences in this society and across the world, we must labor to find each other underneath the banner of the cross in true humility and self-giving love. Only here might we bury our broken politics and behold the resurrection of genuine political engagement. This is what the church is. This is what great awakening looks like. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And not as some ethical paradigm, but as a supernatural demonstration of your present reality, your person in me. And to that end, Jesus, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my self-interestedness. I receive, Jesus, your theology and release my ideology. I receive your thick, dense theology, and I release my thin, anemic ideology, which is only an apparition of truth. I receive your humility and willingness to apparently lose, and I release my pride and win-at-all-cost mentality. Yes, come Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary, for the glory of God our Father. Amen. For our journal prompts today, what questions and concerns does today's post raise for you? How might we work through any confusion toward clarity, rather than throwing up our hands in frustration over what is admittedly a challenging entry? And how might religion and politics be subverted by worship and prayer in your heart, your home, your church, your city, your nation? Those are big questions. For our hymn today, we're going to sing "How Firm a Foundation." This is number 46 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise. How Firm a Foundation, 46. We'll sing all five verses. That's what we need. We need a firm foundation. And the good news, guys, we got one. Let's sing it out here. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, than to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Let's key up a notch. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Let's sing an amen. Amen. Some hymns just call out for that amen, don't they? Well, guys, this was really a challenging post today. I don't even know what to say other than what I've said. And I admittedly, you know, when I'm throwing around words like theology and ideology and doxology and idolatry, that those are complex concepts. And you understand them, and I understand them, and yet there are levels at which we don't yet understand them. And that's why we're pressing in. That's why this is not, you know, your chicken soup for the soul morning devotion. That's, you've signed up for the wake-up call. Not chicken soup for the soul. Okay, that's not bad. That's just not what this is. So this is a thinker, and I want to push you to think about it. I want to push you to think about how is theology and ideology, how are those different? They are. They're as different as idolatry and doxology are different, right? I'm just going to leave it with you. And maybe you can talk about this over tacos today. That's what I intend to do. We are in a complicated time, at least in the United States of America, with this election. If you're in other parts of the world, I know many of you are. Pray for us in America. We need the Lord. Some people think we need, Donald Trump. Some people think we need Joe Biden. I'm telling you guys, we need Jesus. And that's not an escape from our politics. That's a subversion of our politics. That's a getting down to the bedrock core of reality. And you hear me. Well, guys, it's time to get our seeds. It's time to head for the fields to sow for awakening today. I'll see you out there. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.